The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Welcome into the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm Mark Schanowski, and today our special guest will be Bulls Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, John Paxson. Like the rest of us, Paxson and his staff were hoping that they would strike lottery gold, get the first or second pick, and be able to add a franchise changer like Zion Williamson or Ja Morant. But we all know how that story ended up, and now the Bulls have to roll up their sleeves and go to work. They'll be bringing in players throughout the next month to the Advocate Center for workouts and personal interviews, hopefully come up with another very productive player at the number seven position. Here's my conversation with Pax. Well, Pax, as I told you, we were at Public House doing a big show. Everybody had their Bulls jerseys on. Some people had Zion gear and everything like that. And it was like, everything dropped when the Bulls came up at seven. What was your initial reaction when you saw what was going on with the lottery, with teams jumping up?
Yeah, when the Lakers jumped, and then once we saw Atlanta at eight, because they were right behind us, that's, I knew we weren't in very good shape. But it just, the league did this for a reason. This is the first year they flatten the odds, and they're doing it for the right reasons. They want teams to take things seriously and compete, and not blatantly tank for lottery positions. So I think from that standpoint for the league, it was a huge success last night because it was dramatic, and a lot of things went on.
I know you've been very adamant in the past saying you hate not going all out to win, that the first year when you were trying to play more for draft position, it was something you never wanted to do again. Do you think this will send that message to teams around the league? There's no sense trying to lose deliberately because you never know what's going to happen.
I think it will. It has to. And this year for us it was so disjointed because we had so many injuries and we just couldn't get our group on the floor. I honestly believe had we had everybody healthy, we would have won more games. So, but it's just a, The lottery system is what we have, and the league is trying to make sure the integrity of the game is always at its highest. And so I think last night showed that, anybody who believes in conspiracy theories, those type of things, that I think that's been put to rest.
Yeah. Well, the people that do draft analysis for a living have kind of put this draft in tiers, maybe not as strong as it's been or deep as it's been the last couple. Three at the top, and then it maybe drops a little bit. How's your evaluations gone? Is that kind of how you look at it, or is there going to be a good player for you at seven?
Well, I think we'll get a good player, but I think the tiers are correct. I mean, there's tremendous players at the top. I mean, a couple that could be franchise changing, which I think is part of the reason this whole lottery process was so exciting for the NBA fan. But I consistently believe that you can find value in a draft, and we've had the seventh pick the last 2 years. We've got Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. Now, they're still very young players, and they haven't gotten to the level that we think they can get to, but internally, we believe as they get mature, as they develop their games, they're going to be very, very good players, hopefully at a level that makes them real difference makers for us, where we win games because of them. It's funny, since I've been around, we've had seven several times, and we got Kirk Heinrich, who was a terrific player for us, and Lou Aldang, who was another terrific player for us. So I believe we get value here. But the one thing we are going to do is we're going to keep an open mind as to what this pick means. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do now. I mean, obviously you can trade it for something. You can, maybe you can move up, back, whatever it is. But we'll keep an open mind in terms of how we approach it.
I know the average fan always thinks it's like fantasy basketball. You can just concoct these deals that can happen on draft night. Yeah. But the price to move up is so high, particularly in a draft that has that elite tier. What are your expectations on draft night? Is is it difficult to project what might happen if somebody falls in love with a player in the seven range?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to predict. What we'll do now is, you know, we've gone through the whole college season of scouting players. Now we get the opportunity to bring them into our building, get to know them, really dig deep into who they are, and dig even deeper into their games. I think for us, we're in a position now because I'm very confident in our 2 through 5 spots moving forward.
Right.
You know, so I think we have to look at sometimes positions, maybe put a little more value in that. Not saying we will, but we have to approach that with an open mind, where maybe in the past we would have said, hey, you take this guy because we think he's more talented. So we'll look at it, but this is actually the fun part for us, because you do get to start mm-hmm. digging deep into the kids and find out who they are and what they represent. And the one thing we don't want to, the mistakes we don't want to make are character mistakes. We want to make sure we get a young player in who fits the culture we want and believe we have, that blends in with guys like Zach and Otto and Lowry and Wendell and Chandler Hutchison, Denzel, you know, all those guys that we feel are true value players for us.
Do you know if any of the players that are in your tier will be working out at the combine this week? Do you have any meetings scheduled to get the interview process started?
I doubt very much that those guys will work out. You know, the agents drive this process in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, where they work out. And so, you know, last year was seven, none of the guys, you know. So what we'll do is we'll get, after this week, agents have their own draft workouts in different parts of the country. So we'll be out there visiting those players to see them. And then once June comes around, we will be able to get, I'm guessing there'll be a group of probably 6 to 8 players that we will want to get in here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be doing that. But in terms of workouts, when guys know they're getting drafted high, they tend not to work out against other players. You know, last year, you know, Trae Young came in, you know, solo. Wendell Carter came in solo, you know, so that a lot of that will happen. But it's just good to see who guys are, you know, and see mm-hmm. what they're made of. And we'll get a number of those guys in for that seventh pick.
I know you mentioned last night after the lottery was done that because of the fact you dropped to seven, that you may be looking more at positional need rather than best player available. People know who the top 3 point guards are: Ja Morant, Darius Garland, Kobe White. Could one of those guys, well, obviously Ja will probably go 2, could one of those guys be the Bulls selection?
Well, it's too early to say, but, you know, I mean, we need competition at that point guard position. There's other ways to get it. I mean, we have free agency out there, and that's something that we'll, you know, we've already met on that, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. As a staff, we've gone over things and kind of maybe plotted out some things in that area. So there's a lot of ways to address it. But I think the biggest thing for us at that position, we need real competition. We need guys battling for that spot. And the point guard position is so important in our game today, especially somebody who can create for others. You know, I look at those 2 through 5 spots. I see 3 guys who can really shoot the ball, and Zach, mm-hmm. Otto, and Lowry. Wendell, who we believe will be able to shoot it. But, you know, even when you're talking about big guys, our young bigs need to get some easy baskets during a game, you know, where they can just roll to the rim, have a point guard who can get the ball to them, lob it up there, you know, they get a couple dunks a game, things like that. So the value of that position is really, really important. And so it's no secret. And it's, you know, I want to say this publicly and honestly, we've not given up on Chris Dunn as a basketball player. He has value, and he's a very good defender. He can do some things on the court. Mm-hmm. We've had trouble getting him on the court. He's not been very durable for these 2 years. And point blank, we challenged him when the season ended that we probably gonna bring in competition for him. So I think that's a good thing, honestly. And I think that makes people better, players better, and we're at that spot in our franchise's history where we need to challenge some guys.
Obviously, the draft and free agency kind of go hand in hand. You address some needs there, and then you go out in the free agent market. You were pretty clear in your season ending news conference that you need to get some veteran presence in here because you have the youngest team in the league. Is that still a huge priority for this
Absolutely.
Summer?
Absolutely. If you take our roster right now and we're healthy, okay, we've got those 4 starters. We've got Chris Dunn as maybe you plug him in. Maybe he's your guy off the bench, your ball hawk off the bench. We have Denzel, who missed last mm-hmm. year, who is a very good complementary player. We missed his shooting and ball handling last year. And then we have Chandler Hutchison. So right there, there's 7 players, okay, that we think are either starters or rotation guys in this league. We know we're going to add a pick that will be another foundational piece, hopefully. That takes you to eight kind of core players. We need maybe three vets that are very good basketball players who bring the right approach, or professional, understand what we're trying to do. I do believe that when we have the opportunity to bring guys into our building and they get to meet Jim Boylan and see what our staff's about and how we work, that's something that is, guys will look at it and say, I like this, you know. So it is a priority, because we were young last year. Now, we were young last year in a lot of ways because we had so many injuries and we were bringing guys up, you know, guys that were looking for jobs and competing and that type of thing, and trying to, you know, make their mark in the league. But, you know, we need to get some real veteran presence in here.
And in the same vein, people always look for magical answers from the outside, but because you're so young, Lauri Markkanen at 21 could become, you know, an elite player in this league. Zach LaVine has already proven he's a knockdown scorer in the NBA. If these guys take the jump, that may be the biggest moves you make in terms of your future.
Well, internally, we need to have something good happen for us like that. That's part of the drafting process. You know, you draft guys so young, but you project them out to be something. Now, where I'm confident is that all these guys we're talking about have terrific work ethics. And I think one of the things we tried to do, when we gave Jim the head coaching job this year and watched him work, and then, you know, obviously he's going to be here, we turned towards his staff. Now, he's had a very good staff, but he also has a very young staff. And so we've looked at things, and we're adding a coach named Chris Fleming, mm-hmm. who comes from Brooklyn, who has a background in development. And he's a very good basketball coach, great offensive mind, and he'll be very helpful for us in terms of things we want to do on the offensive end. But he comes from a development background. He coached over in Germany, and you know, in Brooklyn the last 3 years, they've been a model franchise in terms of developing their young talent and getting them to play at a high level. So we feel we're going about this kind of piece by piece to put the right people with Jim to help our staff. Our player development is huge. How we grow internally, I'm very realistic, and I know better than anybody that for us to be a legitimate, competitive, contending type team, the young guys we've already drafted have to become players. They have to become difference makers. And, you know, so, and if they do, then your future's really bright, because that's when other players look at you and say, hey, they've got something going on. I think the goal, we know what our goal is this summer, trying to address the roster needs. And then it's becoming as competitive as we can be, showing our fan base that we have a group of guys that love to play and want to compete. They're going to see it from our coach. Our coach is going to put it on the floor with our players. And then we know we need to make a good jump, but we also know we need to be healthy.
Are you excited to see what Jim is going to be able to do with a summer and a full training camp to implement his system?
Absolutely, absolutely. Jim Boylan stands for the right things. And as you know, when we made the change in December, we had an opportunity to watch him over the course of the season. It was very hard. It's hard for a coach. You know, you want to go out and win. You're limited by, you know, your roster in terms of injuries and all those things. But he never quit. He always battled, and he stayed positive with the guys. And the one thing Jim's done that to me that's been most impressive is he's really in this day and age, you have to invest in your players. You have to invest time. You have to show them you care about them so that they'll trust you and know that you're coaching them hard for the right reasons. He is not a taskmaster. The first week got kind of blown out of proportion. Mm-hmm. He's very good at communicating with people in general because he invests the time in it, and very positive about it.
Last thing, obviously there's some disappointment in the fan base. They were hoping to hit the home run swing. Nobody wanted it more than you guys
did. All were.
But what's the message to the fan base in terms of, you know, this is going to get better and turn around and hopefully make a significant jump this coming season?
Well, we know we have to hit on some things this summer. We do, to get to improve. And we know our players have to improve internally. Those are the two biggest things. My confidence comes from the type of people that our players are. They are workers. They want to get better. There's been a little immaturity because of age, but as they grow up and see. At one point, I know Jim texted some guys during the playoffs, watching playoff basketball. Man, if you don't want to be a part of that, you know, there's something wrong with you. So I think our guys will understand that more and more as they are around the league. And you know, you oftentimes can't rush maturity, but we need to see a big step from our young guys.
Obviously, a critical summer ahead for the Bulls. John Paxson will unearth every possible avenue to try to improve the roster, whether it's through the draft, trades, or free agency. So it should be very interesting to see what the Bulls look like when they open training camp in September. Thanks for listening to the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Remember, you can find all of our shows at NBCSportsChicago.com/podcast. You can also listen and subscribe at Apple, Stitcher, and Google Play. Until next time, so long, everybody.